What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
ICE out protests took place across the country over the weekend in Los Angeles. Following two nights of demonstrations, the Los Angeles Police Department reported that at least 50 people had been arrested, mostly cited and released. Joining us to discuss this, as well as ICE presence in Los Angeles overall, is Gustavo Arellano. Arellano is a writer and journalist. He's a columnist for the Los Angeles Times and the former editor of Orange County's alternative weekly, OC Weekly. And you have your own, I meant to put it in here, you've got your own website where you do some commentary. So we'll get that in there before we say goodbye to you. Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining. I'm excited to talk to you again.
Thanks as always for having me.
I want to start, Gustavo, by having you paint a picture of what Los Angeles is like now. There were big headlines about LA. I think that's the last time we had you on, actually, was when ICE first descended upon the city. All eyes have been on Minnesota, but ICE is still active in Los Angeles, correct?
Not just ICE. Now I know we all, when we talk about any enforcement actions by what I call the toxic alphabet soup of federal agencies involved in this crap, we go to ICE, but it's Border Patrol, it's HSI. And look, even if you don't speak Spanish, just please use this term, migra. That's what us Mexicans call them. So migra, yes, the migra has never left Los Angeles. We're not getting the attention that we were getting in June or July. We're not getting the ridiculous raids that Gregory Bovino, one sector chief, did on our famous MacArthur Park back in July. We're not getting that, but it has spread, not just Los Angeles. We're going out into the Coachella Valley. We're going down to where I'm at in Orange County. The raids. And in fact, really, ever since the shootings of Preti and Good, you have seen an escalation in more action. So they're just, I'm not going to say they're more quiet, because thankfully there's people watching and recording and putting it out there to the world, but definitely not as showy as before.
Can you talk about material impact, like on the fabric of culture, the way people are not moving around, the emotional, mental impact of being occupied, an occupied city?
Yeah, no, we are seeing the mental impact. I know people, without naming names, they are tired. They are, I'm not going to call them wearing down, because they're brilliant, resilient people, but they are tired. They are now being commanded by their friends, take a break. Literally, go on vacation and be hedonistic for like 2 weeks, because this stuff is not going to leave anytime soon. So you're seeing that. You're seeing neighborhoods, everything from churches to businesses to streets, far more quiet than they used to be. But as the point that I always try to make, the Trump administration, and really, let's be real, Stephen Miller, they thought that by smashing down not just Los Angeles, but anywhere where any of this is happening, that people were going to cower in fear, that people were really going to leave in droves, that people were just going to be, you know, just take it basically and not fight back. So what, in as the same time that you're seeing this fatigue and frustration and fear, you're also seeing fearlessness, people stepping up, people creating those, mutual benefit, the mutual aid societies, people creating the ICE watches, people, my favorite thing, just because I was a food critic forever, is buyouts, where, and it's almost always the young people. They get money together, they go to a street vendor, it could be, someone selling flowers, a tamalera, a mango guy, whatever. Here's $500, we're buying you out for the day, go home, relax, and they just go from place to place. So we have seen the worst of humanity in Los Angeles. We have also seen the best of humanity.
Talk about, Gustavo, the city's response. So in Minneapolis, right, we saw the governor and we saw the mayor make very strong statements. And things continue, and the people of Minnesota are demanding they do more. How's y'all's mayor doing? How's Mayor Karen Bass doing? What is happening, and what would folks like to see happen, perhaps?
I really feel bad for Karen because no one seems to like her right now. The right, of course, never liked her. Why would you like a black woman, female mayor ever, period, for the right? They're not going to do it. And then got exacerbated with the fires in Altadena and Palisades. On the left, you know, and let's disregard all the other issues that LA has to deal with for now, like unhoused folk, housing affordability, and all that, and just focus on immigration. She has decried what has gone on. She has, like, you know, confronted folks from the federal level, called them and do all of that. But she stands in contrast to, I mean, you mentioned Minneapolis and Minnesota with Governor Tim Walz. I'm thinking of Chicago, Mayor Brandon Johnson, who has gone out straight up and called them, you know, called migra unkind words that Mayor Bass has not called. So whereas Mayor Bass is decrying the actions, other folks are decrying the people themselves and going out there and passing laws. And Los Angeles seems to finally be coming back. Part of the problem, of course, is you have a police chief, Jim McDonald, who tries to play nice with everyone. And, you know, people are pressing him, like, California passed this law that masked agents, you're not allowed to have masked federal agents at all. And McDonald's saying, well, we're not going to, you know, we can't really do anything about it because that's federal law and this is a state law. So there is much to be said, at least for the higher up elected officials. But you also have folks like on smaller city councils. I'm thinking about the small cities of Southeast LA County, supermajority Latino. They're the ones who are pushing more for these stuff. I mean, let's not forget, Los Angeles did not become officially a sanctuary city until the very beginning of 2025, where other cities had been sanctuary cities for years.
Speaking of folks that are struggling with Karen, Karen was my mentor. I worked at, I cut my organizing teeth at Community Coalition 20-something years ago. She's changed. I had my friend Dr. Melina Abdullah, excuse me, on a couple times to discuss what's happening with Mika in L.A., sorry. And one of the things that we talked about was black brown solidarity. And that's part of why I talked about Coco, because that was my first organizing, was working to bridge black and brown communities in South Central. Dr. Abdullah has been heartened by the solidarity seeing between black and brown community. And I just wanted to track your assessment.
Oh, absolutely. This is actually, I wrote about this last year. Before, you know, so like right before all this stuff really started just going down horribly, I did a column. It might have even been 24. I can't remember. But I did a column just talking about, like, who is supporting Border Patrol, who is supporting deportations, who are supporting these horrible actions. The one group that has decried these actions more in polls than any other group, even Latinos, have been black folks, because they know what a police terror state looks like. They know what a police terror state can inflict on innocent people, not even the so-called guilty, but also on innocent people. And yes, look, and people always, it's important to always be cognizant about black-brown relationships in any city, especially in Los Angeles, where there has been historic tensions. Let's not lie about that, but that's why it's important to see the work of groups like COCO, to see, you know, politicians like another COCO guy, Marquise Harris-Dawson, the council president, aligning themselves with not just like historical Latino organizations, but folks on the ground. So, I mean, and sadly, it's important to note that, again, and this is what I tell people, it's not just Latinos who are suffering because of La Migra. New Year's Eve, you had a black gentleman up in Northridge, you know, suburban, like on the suburbs, a part of the San Fernando Valley, Los Angeles, Keith Porter Jr. He was celebrating New Year's Eve, and he got shot dead by an off-duty ICE agent, a black man. And so it's heartening to see, when we talk about all these people dying, for Latinos to say his name, Keith Porter Jr., because in the national media, and nothing against the tragedies that happened to Preddy and Good, the national media really started paying attention to what Migra was doing when it was white folks being killed, but brown folks and black folks have been killed already by this.
All right, we're going to jump. You segued to where I was going to go last, but because I want to talk about the police response to protests over the weekend. We will get there, howsomever. Culture impacts thought and societal norms, right? And Hollywood, we know, has a massive impact on both how people think, how people, or sleep, through important social issues. In the January, we saw the Golden Globes, people were wearing the Be Good pins in response to the murder of Ms. Renee Good. Some folks, that was a bit vanilla for the situation at hand, but hey, I know right? That even that was precarious for some folks to do because of the way Hollywood can respond. The Grammys, however, were a bit more explicit about ICE out messages, both on pins and speeches. Several celebrities saying ICE is a problem. We're going to get to Bad Bunny for show. This is following the murder of Alex Pretty, right? So things escalated. To your point, I don't know that we would have seen that were it not for two white folks, for white privilege, right? The benefits of being white being stripped away very violently in rapid succession.
That's absolutely true. There's, and look, and again, nothing taking away from those tragedies at all. Call it what it is, and you've called it, and I've called it. People say, oh, just because the video was so explicit. Look, there was a video of, and this is just to tell you how much it got into the news. There was an undocumented immigrant in Chicago who got gunned down after he tried to flee. I can't even remember his name right now. So I'm part of the problem for not knowing that name. New Year's Eve, at least here locally, we got the news with the new LA Times and other local news agencies reported on the death of Keith Porter, the killing. Let's call it the killing.
They didn't give him no choice.
Yeah, exactly. But nationally, I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing people walk. At this point, though, especially when you have a multi-billion-dollar funded Leviathan, like La Migra, in all of its different tentacles, I will take any ally that comes this way. I just hope that especially the people who have more privilege than others, that they really educate themselves on what's going on, that they're talking to the folks on the ground, the people who have been at this for months, if not years, and use their privilege to be able to do something. So I didn't see the Grammys, I'll be honest with you. I saw the highlights. So, hey, Billie Eilish, a hipster from Highland Park, saying, occupied land and ICE out. All right, it's problematic, sure. Like, she has to be a little, she has to know her history a little bit more, but I'll give her the benefit of the doubt in that she does want to know more.
Well, at least you'll give her the benefit of that. The poor, people came for her neck, which happens in the Bay Area a lot. I was like, oh, yeah, welcome to the world up here. I understand that you didn't watch the Grammys. I didn't either. I stopped watching that stuff a long time ago. It's part of my detox from living in Los Angeles. That said, Bad Bunny made history. Took away three, I believe, awards and gave his acceptance speech mostly in Spanish and explicitly called out Migra and what's happening. And I just want to talk about the significance of that, the importance of that on culture. And that happened in this moment.
First ever Spanish language record of the year. Not the first Latino you had, Carlos Santana from the Bay Area in the past. But of course, he plays mostly instrumentals and in English. But yeah, for him to come on stage and say, we are not monsters. We're people trying to come for a better life. And remember, Bad Bunny, American citizen. He's a Puerto Rican, colonized person. But yeah, it's putting it out there. So for him to win. And my God, like, even if you don't like NFL anymore, you're going to have to see his halftime show instead of the boring ass Turning Point USA Kid Rock. Like, what do they think they are? A Living Color doing a Contra halftime show? Give me a break. So it is going to be amazing. And it's funny because, like, I always have to listen to the news, the mainstream news. So this morning they interviewed NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. They asked him about Bad Bunny. I think the question was, like, are you worried that's going to get too political? And he said something like, oh, no, Super Bowl is like a time for all of us to unite. Come on. It's Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny does not mess around. He's probably not going to say, algo la migra. I'm not going to cuss on the airwaves, but he's probably not going to say that. Even if he's like the most subtle person imaginable, the messaging is going to be there and then some. So it's historic that he won the Grammy. This halftime show is going to be absolutely incredible.
And subtle, he is not. And I was going to go to the Super Bowl, right? He said the show's going to be in Spanish. He said that the right wing, as you pointed out, is angry. For folks that sort of miss that, the organization Turning Point are hosting their own counter Super Bowl show for all of their white supremacist Proud Boy buddies to go watch instead. Trump isn't coming. The Super Bowl is here, where I am, up this way, Santa Clara. Folks are bracing, right? There's all sorts of protest plans, resistance plan. You've lived through, they came for a day and a half. Lots of people sort of celebrated that we kicked them out. I laughed as an elder in organizing. I was like, oh, they'll be back. And they'll be back with, to use Trump's word, retribution. You've lived with us. What would you tell the Santa Clara community and surrounding areas to brace for? What do we not have to relearn because you all already did?
They will be ruthless. They will lie. Above all, they will lie. We knew this already, but seriously, they will lie. We saw this in Minneapolis. We saw this in Los Angeles. But you have to remain steadfast. Every front you resist, legal, food, joy, music, whatever it is. I mean, and they will not leave. Remember, we're only February the 3rd. We're just early this year. They are going to, there was a 10 years, $190 billion package. They're onboarding a bunch more Migra people. They're going to start spreading them around. And Trump despises California. The only supposedly the only reason that Bay Area has gotten off somewhat is because of all the tech bros up there, which we do not have as many down here in LA, but they will be back because he loathes San Francisco. Lurie or not, he loathes San Francisco. He loathes the Bay. He loathes black folks, brown folks, anyone who does not look like his cabinet of vendidos, he loathes, and he will go after you. So what we've done, do more, because you folks have done it, and vice versa. And above all, everyone communicate with each other. That's, I think, you see it somewhat, but really, Chicago needs to be in communication with the East Bay, needs to be in communication with OC, needs to be in communication with Washington Heights, all of that. It needs to be a nationwide network, not just the little bubbles that we live in.
Agreed, agreed, yeah. All right, before I let you go, I do want to turn to the protests that happened in Los Angeles over the weekend, and the police response was 2 days. Friday and Saturday, 50 people ended up arrested, tear gas, other violence from the police department. What's your understanding of what rolled out them 2 days?
It's the usual. You have peaceful folks. You have folks screaming a little bit more. You have La Migra getting mad and pushing folks. I mean, you saw a video. There was one guy, a punk, because there was also a punk show there. A punk show right out across the street from the Metropolitan Detention Center. After the show, some of them are lingering around, you know, saying their things. Their First Amendment right, by the way. And one of these Migra agents just goes out and shoves them. Then here comes LAPD. You know, the poor Migra always has to call the backup and screaming, you know, crying, oh, they hit us. Then LAPD does their thing, pushing people back, firing stuff. Yesterday, I saw a video of a woman, pregnant woman, no less, getting hit by a quote-unquote less-than-lethal munition and fainting. She says that a Migra hit her. There was video, and you actually see the video of her being hit and her falling down and fainting. Her identity is not known, but she did speak to the local television station. It's more of the same. But here's the thing again. If people think this is going to stop in terms of people like going back home and, of course, can't you protest peacefully? You protest. That's what you do. You protest. And that's what LA is doing and LA will be doing.
Gustavo Arellano, thank you so much. Actually, before I let you go, you said more of the usual. I want to ask an explicit question about collusion between the LAPD and Migra. Is that what you would call this happening? Or maybe not that explicit?
I mean, look, you're not supposed to. Sanctuary state policy in California does not allow relations between LAPD and federal agencies, specifically Migra. Local, at least on the ground, the rank and file, they do not like Migra because they think they're a bunch of goons, and they also come in and start, you know, dictating what to do and not telling them anything. But come on, when you have LAPD there telling folks, leave those poor Migra alone, it's there in the videos. What else are you going to call it?
What up, Hart? And it's not like LAPD loves Black folks or brown folks, right? And we have seen a 70% rise in the last year of police violence in Los Angeles ever since Trump said, there'll be no consequences for your behavior, do as you wish, right? And so I can't help but connect all of those dots. The increase.
Yeah, and the sad thing, of course, as we know now, when we talk about law enforcement, we're not talking about Peckerwoods anymore. We're talking especially L.A. Sheriff's Department, majority Latino, Border Patrol, majority Latino. So we have become that which we loathe.
Speak to that. Speak to that, please. Say more.
That's a whole column that I got to write at some point. But look, it is not anything surprising. I've always maintained it's not that these Latinos want to be white. It's not. No, like a lot of the Trump-leaning Latinos that I know, they think white folks are a bunch of cowards and whiners. But no, they want power. That's what it is. The United States has always been about power. How do we get power? That's what assimilation is, power. How do we become aligned with the power structure here? And sadly, more than a few Latinos have been intrigued by that power and have succumbed to it. So the idea was, oh, we get more Latinos into LAPD, we're going to reform it. Well, you're seeing what's happening.
Yeah, if it could be reformed, it would have been so by now. The black version of that in local cities for us are NAACP chapters, but I digress. Gustavo Arellano, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It was a joy to talk to you.
Gracias, as always.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.